The Late Lunch, weekdays from 1:30 on your station, LMFM.
Tony Whelan's laughing. Yeah, the man from the Knoll is back with us on Late Lunch today. He's recently published the second book of his trilogy. This one's called Amy's Amazon. And we're going to catch up on what's happened to him since he was with us last on Late Lunch. When, remind me, Tony, was it?
It was 3 years ago, Jerry, 2010.
God, where does time go? It flies by. Hey, do you agree with me about that toll thing? Or are you totally... you don't mind, do you, if you pull up behind somebody and they're writing a book at the toll?
I'm going to be very safe and say I didn't hear that bit of the show, Jerry, so I don't think I can quite comment on that one now.
You're a chancer, you know that. You just don't want to rock the boat, as they say. Anyway, congrats. The second book, you did tell me last time you were here that there were three in the series. That's the second right. One is out now and available. We're going to talk about in a while where you can get it, actually. Trilosophy. Will you just explain that to us again?
Absolutely, yeah. Trilosophy is really a combination of two words, thriller and philosophy. And I suppose my thinking when I started writing was I wanted people to, I suppose, to give people an opportunity to think about, you know, what you might call the big questions of life. You know, why am I here? What's life all about? You know, when you were talking to Shane earlier, people can get a bit lost and wonder, you know, what's my purpose or whatever. So to give people an opportunity to think about these questions. But I suppose what I found just in talking to people about these kind of things is that for a lot of people, the idea of going to a bookshop and picking up a philosophy book or a self-improvement book or whatever. As Shane was saying about men particularly might see it as a sign of weakness or whatever. So I wanted to write about these things, but do it in a way to make it maybe accessible to an audience that wouldn't normally read these kind of books. So they're set as fictional thrillers. They have all the ingredients, I hope, of a good thriller. Lots of excitement and suspense and intrigue. But there's a kind of a strand of philosophy running through them. So as the main character, you know, is in the first book running around the world and the second book is running around the Amazon trying to escape people, she meets different kind of characters and has conversations and discussions with them, learns more about herself. In the second book, very much learns more about the environment. So it's a combination of thriller and philosophy. Philosophy.
So in other words, when you read this, you'll have the good read of the thriller, you're saying, but yet afterwards when you absorb what's there, it does prompt the mind to think about different things.
Exactly. And you know, some people have said to me, you know, love the thriller but not really into all that deep stuff or whatever, and that's absolutely fine. From that perspective, I suppose my hope would be that they'll get a few hours of good enjoyment and entertainment out of it, as they would out of any kind of good thriller. But if people want to, it just gives them that opportunity, I suppose. It doesn't kind of preach, you know, it doesn't say here are the answers, but certainly it asks what I think are the big questions, the important questions, and maybe poses some possible answers. People can agree or disagree. To be honest, I suppose my perspective is that just thinking about these things is a good thing in and of itself. What answers people come to, like Shane was saying with his 6 months with his counsellor, at the end he said, you have to go and find the answers for yourself. So it's not about giving people answers, but certainly about asking the questions and encouraging and giving people that opportunity to think about these things.
Now, Amy's Amazon builds on Laura's legacy.
That's
which is
right.
The first, and Amy is Laura.
Yes.
And it's really about the Big Brother scenario that we often hear about and the environment as well. And that theme is the big theme, without giving too much away, that runs through it and that. The little guy, the person who stands up for the environment against this might and strength.
Yeah.
It's a no-win situation, really, if the people with the money and the power and the influence want to have their way.
Well, you know, I suppose you could take that view, but throughout history, you know, the individual has made changes and has made differences. You know, so if you look at, you know, any of the great figures of history, I suppose Gandhi, an example, someone very much in the news at the moment because he's so ill, Nelson Mandela. You know, these are individual people, ordinary guys or ladies, no different really from any of the rest of us, and yet had the courage of their conviction. And I suppose one of the things I would feel very strongly is if you're going to do something positive and you're going to make a difference, it doesn't have to be world changing. Now, I mentioned those people because we all know about them. But, you know, somebody like, as I say, Shane doing what he's doing, someone like Tracy, who the day after a really traumatic event, you know, her first kind of action then is to go out and tell other people about this to save them from going through the same. So that's a similar kind of an approach to the Gandhis or the Mandelas, in that it's thinking about other people, it's selflessness, it's thinking about the community, about the society, and it's trying to give something to improve people's lives.
So you can make a difference no matter who you are or what you do. One small step, as they say.
Absolutely.
And it builds from there.
Yeah. As they say, if you make one person smile during the day, you've made a difference.
You've achieved a lot. Yeah. That's so true. You have an unusual way about your writing in that you're not one that sits down and goes at it consistently. You're not one, you know, that maybe has an idea and leaves it for a long time. You're a bursty writer and you go away. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, you see, the whole writing process to me is a bit of a mystery, to be honest. It was 2004 or so when I got this notion that I'm going to write a book. You know, things were difficult. I felt I needed something else to kind of to focus on and to concentrate on. This idea came to me out of the blue. And what I have found over writing these two books is that while I'm kind of at home, I have a day job like everyone else to keep the bank manager and all that as you have to. You know, the kids are there, you have your household, you know, chores and bills. And I find to do the actual writing itself, I just need to get away. And when I do that, and, you know, so I'll go away, you know, preferably for about a month at a time, and just kind of relax, get out of that every day, kind of, you know, doing this, that and the other. And then the story just seems to arise. I don't kind of plan it as such. I don't kind of, you know, plot it out. I just sit down and start typing. The story arises. And I find that's what I have to do for that creative, actually writing the first instance of the story. Now, after that, for all the editing and the publishing process and the publicising it process and all of that, that's fine. But for the actual creative writing part, I find I need to get away somewhere quiet, somewhere calm, and just let the story
so you
arise.
Get in the zone, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You touched on the publishing there, because you've independently published the first one and you've gone this route as well for the second one. And for an independently published book, you sold a lot of copies, I have to say, for the first one, and I'm sure you're hoping to repeat that and better at this time round. But you know, It's not easy when you have to plow your own furrow. Is that fair to say? Would you rather have been signed up to a publishing house and let them run with it?
It's a very difficult question. There are pros and cons of each. As I understand it, you know, if you sign up to a publishing house, the big positive is, you know, you have this massive kind of distribution, marketing. You know, you don't have to worry about the finances. All that kind of stuff happens for you, which is, you know, great, I presume. But on the other hand, I think you probably lose a lot of the kind of creative control. Like Amy's Amazon, now I'm biased, so of course I'd say this, I love the cover of it. And it was myself and, you know, a few very close friends who kind of came up with the concept and did the cover design. I couldn't do that if that was published through the kind of the normal publishing process. The publishing house would decide what they want on the cover. So it has that positive, you keep the whole control of it. You're much closer to the whole process throughout. But there's no doubt you wouldn't want to be doing it to be the next J.K. Rowling, you know.
So who, I'm trying to get at, reads what you write? You know, who do you give it by? You know the way you have an editor or you send it to a publisher and they go through it. With a lot of books you'll find, the best will tell you, they take it apart, they send it back, you redraft, you change it, whatever. How does that work with you?
Well, the way it worked in the instance now of Amy's Amazon is I finished Amy's Amazon in my head, kind of. The story was written down on paper, done in July of last year, and we launched it at the end of last month. What happened in that almost year in between is I engaged myself an editor, and we went through it and through it and through it. And she did fantastic work on it and kind of helped me to tighten it up and maybe develop characters a bit more or whatever. That took probably until Christmas. Then with a company here in Drogheda, Choice Publishing, they do self-publishing, so they assist with kind of getting ISBN numbers and all the kind of the regulation around it. And then kind of by, you know, Easter, we were pretty much ready, and then started kind of, you know, doing our marketing through social media, you know, talking to friends, talking to yourself, Jerry, everyone we can. And we held the launch in the Borgash Theatre then at the end of last month. From here on, it's really, you know, a continuation of that, just trying to, I suppose, let people know it exists, firstly, and hopefully encourage them that it's a worthy investment of $9.99. So, you know, I approach bookshops, which I walk into the bookshop literally and say, will you put a few copies of this on the shelf? You're doing stuff like this with yourself. The local media, I have to say, are fantastic. The likes of the Drogheda and Fingal Independent. and, you know, on the web, social media, and you just try and spread the
push
word.
Push it as much as you can.
Push it as much as you can, but also very, very reliant on word of mouth. The reality is, you know, if I was pushing this as much as I can, but anybody who read it wasn't kind of pushing it further, it's not going to go very far. So you're very reliant then on the people who read it, the people who are interested in it, then them talking about it. And you know, I've had some fantastic experiences, which really for me is the reward, where somebody reads the book and then you hear what they think. It's great if they come to me and tell me, but very often then I'd be kind of saying, you know, it's great to hear, but like, what else are they going to say? Yeah. But when you hear, when somebody else says to me that so-and-so read the book and here's what they thought about it, that's a, it's a fantastic,
you get a great
reading.
Kick out of that.
Yeah.
The third
yeah.
one is where at this stage?
The third one is out there somewhere, waiting for me to give it the time, I suppose, just for it to arise. I have a name for it. It's going to be called Robbie's Revelation. The three names of the books, when I wrote the first book, was called Laura's Legacy, and my middle girl is called Laura. And I initially set out to write a book, and it was only when I was about probably two-thirds of the way through Laura's Legacy that, without me having feeling that I had much control over it, I felt one book wasn't going to do it. It was going to be three books. So having named the first one after one child, you know, there was no possible outcome.
You have to bring the three of them into it. All there'd be ructions if that didn't happen. God, I did say you're the supreme diplomat at the start, and I do know why now. Where is it available?
The book is available in a number of bookshops at the moment. Easton's and Ashburn have it. Easton's Wholesale have taken it, and I know they're sending it out this week to here in Drogheda, to Dundalk, to Blanchardstown, Liffey Valley, and of course their flagship store in O'Connell Street. In Nace, Barker and Jones Bookshop have it in Nace. So far they're the bookshops, and it looks as though any Easton's or Dubray bookshops, if they don't have it in stock when people ask for it, will
get
order
it. Is it available online?
And then online, then you can get it, as always, on Amazon.com, although I have no control over pricing or whatever there, or you can get it off my own website, anthonywhelan.ie, and it's available in paperback and ebook.
And you're signing in Easton's Ashburn, is it this?
Signing in Easton's Ashburn this coming Saturday, the 29th of June. We'll be there from about 12 till 3. So hoping to meet plenty of people there.
So if you're listening, pop in and meet the man himself. You've two books. Is that the original two you have there? That's you two to spare for our listeners today?
Oh, I do, of course, Jerry.
Well,
absolutely.
If you want a copy absolutely. Of Laura's Legacy and Amy's Amazon, we're going to give the two together because it'd be nice. And Tony's going to sign them to you. Just text Tony to 53958 now. The quicker you're in, the better. We'll pick one of the early ones. And Tony will sign these books and send them out to you. And you can enjoy this man's talent. And the third one then will be on the way. You can make the set. And then you can insist that he signs that one as well, and he'll have collector's items in years to come. Tony Whelan, great to catch up with you again. Wish you well with the third one, and I'm sure they're going to enjoy themselves in Ashburn on Saturday when they pop in to meet you there. Great story. Thanks a million, Tony Whelan.
Been an absolute pleasure, Jerry. Thank you.
The Late Lunch, weekdays from 1:30 on your station, LMFM.